The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 21.
For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. The gospel reading is from John chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is the gospel of Christ. Well, good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. I love this time of year, Epiphany. It is the season of revelation, Christmas and Epiphany. It's revelation not just to Mary and Joseph, to the shepherds, and to the Magi. It's revelation to us and everyone willing to recognize what God is wanting to reveal to us. It's especially, and the readings over the next few weeks will focus on this, it's especially about Jesus, and that is the best thing of all. So this morning I want to focus on two things. Firstly, what has God done to help us understand who he is? And secondly, how should we respond? And January the 2nd is also the season of New Year resolutions. And I want to suggest that we might be able to find some things in these readings that would give us a goal to work towards in the coming year. So please listen up, and if you find something that you find rings a bell, just jot it down. So let's first look at what has God done for us. Well, Christmas is the pinnacle of what God has done to help us to understand who he is. It's the revelation of the Creator God in Jesus. And John's Gospel begins with two amazing creedal statements. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the second statement is follows it. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. God is bigger than time or space. They've just launched the new telescope that's going to peer right back to the beginning and the origins of the universe. We look forward to absolutely gobsmacking the amazing photographs from this telescope. But God preceded the creation of the universe. He's the reason for creation. He's the reason for our existence. And he's the one who sustains our existence. But there's a problem. How can the human brain, the brain of a created being, comprehend an infinite, eternal, omnipresent, and all-powerful God? I mean, over the millennia, there has been many brilliant, super intelligent people. But despite that, a created being is simply not capable of understanding the mind of its creator unless the creator chooses to reveal himself. So what has God done about that problem? Well, in the words of John, the true light gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He came to his own, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The miracle of Christmas is that the Creator God, revealing in Christ the light of the world, has shown us what we are incapable of understanding in ourselves. We once received a handmade Christmas card that I hope... Is it coming up on the screen, Mark? Yeah. We received this Christmas card. That's a sort of mock-up of it. And I thought this sums this up beautifully. God, who is beyond our understanding and capabilities, who is bigger than the universe, has landed. He's come on earth. In the birth of Jesus, the Creator became a created being so that our limited brains can actually see and know what God is like. How amazing is that? How wonderful is God's love for us that he makes himself available to us to understand? The songwriter Graham Kendrick wrote in one of his Christmas songs these words: "The one who strode among the stars and called each one by name lies helpless in his mother's arms and must learn to walk again." God, the Creator, becomes a tiny newborn baby. How amazing is that? What an incredible image of the Creator God in Mary's arms. John also tells about the significance of this. He says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, Jesus, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus has seen the Father. John has seen Jesus. And we, through the Holy Spirit, can see Jesus today. So what has God done for us? What is his revelation? What is Epiphany? He has sent Jesus so that we can know, understand, and experience life with him, both now and in eternity. That's so amazing, and that is the good news of the Gospels. But John adds a sobering thought to this. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. How tragic is that? But yet, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So despite all that God's done for us, there are still many who do not know him, and there are many who do know him, but choose either to ignore him or reject him. So how should we respond? My second point. Those words from John's Gospel, from the prologue, are so familiar. But what does he actually mean? Those who received him, who believed in his name. Simply, it means to recognize who he is and take him seriously. When Mary was told that God had a plan for her, her response was, "I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to his word." And when Joseph received assurance in a dream that he should go ahead and marry Mary, he went ahead and did it. He did what the angel said to him. When the Magi saw the star and understood from their astrology what that meant, they got on their camels and went to find him. To receive Jesus means to welcome him wholeheartedly into your life as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to believe in him means to be willing to do whatever he tells you to do. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians that Will read to us, he explains what this means in practice. And I've picked out a few phrases, and I hope that out of these there might be some possible suggested New Year's resolutions. So the first point from Paul's letter of how we respond to God's revelation is chapter 5, verse 1, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us." In other words, love one another as Christ has loved us. So I want to suggest New Year's resolution number 1, make up your mind to live a life of love. Or as the previous verse of this says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." Second point from Paul is live as children of light. Verse 8 says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light." Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light that shines in darkness. We are called to live as children of light. That means doing everything we can to live a life of honesty, integrity, and openness, even in filling in our tax returns. It means no double standards, and it means being ready to admit when we go wrong and ask for forgiveness. So New Year's resolution number 2, live as children of light. Thirdly, find out what pleases the Lord. Sometimes people try to justify what they do by saying, "Oh, it's just a bit of fun and got to keep up with the times that we're in, and I'm sure God doesn't mind." But Paul says that our aim should be not what can I get away with, but find out what pleases the Lord. This means we should make it our aim and purpose to be intentional as we read the Bible, as we listen to sermons, to discover how God wants us to live, and then do it. New Year's resolution number 3, discover how God wants us to live, and then do it. And number 4, Paul writes, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." So our days on earth are limited, the hours in each day are limited, and for most of us, our money and our energy is limited. So make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every day. Make every day count. They're a gift from God. And finally, think about how we speak to one another. Ephesians 5 says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, always giving thanks to the Father." How we speak to each other reveals an awful lot, both about us and how we see and regard other people. Are we living as children of light and love? Does our conversation reflect an attitude of gratitude to God and that Jesus is central in our lives? Do we look for ways to build up and encourage one another when we speak to them? Or do we just like being grumpy? Several years ago, and I mentioned this before in a sermon, I became concerned that we were living in a culture with a lot of negativity, especially on television, but even listening to conversations over coffee after church. And this was expressed in the way we speak to one another and about one another. So for Lent one year, I initiated a campaign for positive speech. And we even had little cards to remind ourselves of a pledge that we were going to make. I would like to help change the world by encouraging positive speech. And then there were four, five little bullet points on the back. I believe that Jesus wants us to be people who, through the way we speak to one another, aim to build up and encourage and show love, kindness, and patience. So New Year's resolution number 5, speak to one another with consideration, kindness, and love. 5 suggestions for New Year's resolutions. Mark, I can't see what's on the screen, but can we just go through them?
Ah,
right, thank you. Just quickly whip through them. Love one another as Christ loved us. Number 2, live as children of light. Number 3, discover how God wants us to live and then do it. Number 4, make the most of every day. Number 5, speak to one another with consideration, kindness, and love. Take one of those and work on it, and we will change the world. Now, there's a slight problem for some. Many years ago, when I first understood how much Jesus loved me and what he'd done for me, I wanted to respond. But at first, I was reluctant to do so. I hesitated. The problem is I've never been any good at keeping New Year's resolutions. I make them, and then I fail. And so I realized that making a commitment to receive and to believe in Jesus was deadly serious. How would I be able to keep it up? Well, I read about the Holy Spirit, that Jesus promises as a gift to those who believe in him, that he would come and live in us and help us to live a life that pleases God. So many, many years ago, I asked God for that gift of the Holy Spirit, and I know he responded. And thanks to the Holy Spirit, I've been able to get to know Jesus better and better. Even though I still often mess up and often let him down, I know he's at work helping me to be more like Jesus. So Paul adds this to the list of instructions in Ephesians, verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to end by inviting and encouraging each of us today to recommit ourselves to getting to know Jesus better and better in 2022. I want to invite you, encourage you to invite and give permission to the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to fill us afresh at the beginning of this year, to reveal more of Jesus, to make us more like Jesus, and to help us to live our lives in a way that pleases God. So let's turn this into a prayer, and if you want to follow my prayer, then please echo these words. So, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your revelation when you came on earth. Thank you, Father, for Epiphany and for helping us to reveal that which we were unable to understand. And so, Father, at the beginning of this year, we want to recommit ourselves to get to know Jesus better and better in 2022. And I want to invite you and give permission to you, the Holy Spirit, to work in my life, to fill me afresh at the beginning of this year, to reveal more of Jesus, to make me more like Jesus, and to help me to live my life in a way that pleases God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.